Now we are continuing on in our lesson on the new birth. Our text scripture is coming from 1 John chapter number 5, I believe in 4. It says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." All right, so when you're thinking about the new birth, I want us to think that when we're talking about Jesus coming into our lives, and the concept of being born again, Jesus is not taking and remaking the old man. He is not taking and remaking or restoring the old man. He's not making the old man better, in other words. When you receive the Holy Ghost, Scripture describes you as being a new creature. If you go over to 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, or 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5 and 17. We're going to look, I guess you would say, in your notes, it'll be that second section there. That second section will be where many of the scriptures will be coming from this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17.
"Therefore, if any man be in Christ,
yes,
he is a new creature.
Right.
Old things are passed away.
Right.
All things are..."
See, when you're talking about being born again, Jesus is making you a new creature. He's not renewing or remaking the old man. He is not making the old man better. He's creating something completely new inside of you. Even from the onset of the Holy Ghost coming inside of you, when the Holy Ghost comes inside of you, the scripture describes you as being able to speak in a new language. You speak in tongues as Jesus gives you the ability to utter speech. It's a language that is not learned, or a language that cannot be taught. It is a language that is not learned, and it is a language that cannot be taught. You are not speaking to other people. You are speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your spirit is speaking with His spirit. If you go over to Romans chapter number 8, I believe, and this is not a lesson on tongues, but just to help you to understand, He's not renewing or remaking that old man. Romans chapter number 8 and starting at verse number 26.
Romans 8 and 26 reads, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities."
Yes.
"But we know not what we should pray."
Right. Now that infirmity would be the flesh. The infirmity would be the flesh or the carnal man. Remember, as Romans chapter number 8 describes that carnal man as being death. It says that Romans chapter number 8 or in verse number 6. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 6. It says, "For to be carnally minded is what?"
Death.
So the Lord is not renewing or remaking that carnal mind or that fleshly mind. He is bringing His spirit inside of you. The spirit part, He's bringing back to life. He's restoring the connection that Adam lost when he disobeyed. When Adam disobeyed Jesus in the garden, he brought death on all creatures. Scripture says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and not sin by itself, but death also came along with sin. Therefore death passed upon" who? "All men. For that all have done" what? "Sin." Right. So Adam's disobedience brought death to all creatures. Now, to us, the human, how did we die? We did not die physically, because that would have frustrated the whole purpose of Jesus creating Adam. Mm-hmm. He said, "I created man for him to be fruitful and to multiply and to replenish the earth." So we did not die physically. Mm-hmm. But you say, well, how did we die? We died spiritually. We lost that connection that we had with the Creator. And we know that that is true, because after Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, the scripture says they sowed fig leaves and they hid themselves. Not just hid themselves from one another, they were still together. But they hid themselves from their Creator. They hid themselves from their Creator, and they said the reason why they hid themselves is because they said, we were naked. And Jesus said, who told you that you were naked? Did you eat of that tree that I told you not to eat of? So we realize that the death that Jesus was talking about was not a physical death. That came afterwards. And remember, after he went down and pronounced all of the judgments, he says, from dust thou art, and from dust you shall return. That came afterwards. But the most important part of death that we are concerned with is spiritual death. Is that that we lost that connection, that severance between Jesus and me. Well, what does the Holy Ghost do? The Holy Ghost is coming to restore spiritual life. He's coming to make me the person that is spiritually dead. He's coming to give me life again. That's why he's telling me, okay, when you're trying to talk about being born again, you have to understand you can't seek the Lord carnally. Because to be carnally minded, to have a carnal thinking process, is death. Carnal mind only thinks about things relative to the flesh. That's all that the carnal mind is worried about. This is why we say you can't get in your feelings. You can't get into your emotions and be overwhelmed with things like that. You can't get into the point where you're worried about what you're going to do or what you're going to wear or what you're going to put on or what you're going to eat. All of those things are carnal. Yes. Jesus is saying in order for us to be filled with him, we have to be spiritually minded. Our mind has got to be on Jesus. That's why we tell you when you're down there calling on Jesus, put your mind on the Lord. Sometimes you may hear someone say, see Jesus on the cross. Now, we know physically you're not going to see his face. And that's not what we're saying when we're saying see Jesus on the cross. We're telling you to put your mind on Jesus. We say, but see Jesus on the cross. What are we basically telling you? Think about what he did for you on the cross. What did Jesus do on the cross? He paid sin's price. What was sin's price? Suffering, the shedding of blood. Humiliation. He did all of that to put me in a savable position. So this is what we're talking about when we're saying be spiritual minded. Don't worry about the carnal stuff. You say all of the things that are relating to your body, that's carnally. Say, oh, Elder Scudder, you know, I don't know if I'm going to have anything to wear. I wore something on Tuesday, but when I come to church, I can't come to church Wednesday because I don't think I'm going to have anything to wear. That's carnal thinking. Put the same outfit on that you had on Tuesday. You do whatever you need to do in order for you to receive Jesus. You got to be spiritually minded. You know, if someone comes up to you and says, you wore that outfit Wednesday, or you got that same outfit on that you had on Tuesday night, you got it on Wednesday. That's your cue to let you know that they're carnal. Because if they were spiritual, they'll be glad just to see that you made it here. They say, thank the Lord you had a mind to push your way. And even if you wore the same outfit over and over again, it is we're here to encourage you to keep on running for Jesus. Now, if someone is really spiritual, they'll ask you, did you need anything? Is there anything I could do to help you out? Why? Because they are concerned about your soul, not about your flesh. We're concerned about the soul. So to be spiritually minded is to put your mind on Jesus. Things that will help you live. Satan, only thing Satan, we say it's a spiritual attack. But how does he spiritually attack me? He tries to get me to focus on the flesh. He tries to get me to concentrate on the flesh. He uses the flesh as his tool to distract me from thinking spiritually. He realizes if I put my mind on Jesus, Scripture says he'll keep me in perfect peace. Now, devil don't want you to find peace. He wants you to be in the midst of confusion. He wants you to be in the midst of worry, stress, strife, fighting. He doesn't want you to be at a state of peace. He doesn't want you to think about what Jesus can do for you and will do for you when you lean and you trust and depend on him. So that's why the Scripture says, but the Spirit, verse number 26, chapter number 8, Romans, verse number 26, says, but the Spirit does what? It helps our infirmity. See, when you have to understand, your flesh is weak. Your flesh has limits. Right. Yeah, that's right. Your flesh has limits.
Right.
When you get down there and you call Jesus and you get out of breath, you call Jesus and all that sweat starts to fall on your face and you start to getting irritated and itching, that's letting you know you're coming to your limits, your boundaries. Well, you got to go beyond all of that.
Yeah.
So to say, tell somebody, say, well, what do you mean when you say go beyond how I'm feeling when I'm feeling that sweat, when I'm feeling tired, when my mouth is feeling dry and I'm feeling irritable, I'm concentrating on the flesh. When you're reaching those boundaries where the flesh is saying, I don't want to do no more. Well, this is where you have to go beyond that.
Right.
That's why we say think spiritually.
Right.
You see, that flesh is a weakness.
Right.
It tries to prevent you from tapping in or connecting with Jesus.
Right.
It's like static on the line.
Yes.
You know when you have a phone and you be talking and then something cuts the signal off or you lose the signal, you start to look and you say, my bar is low. And you start moving the phone all over the place trying to get your bars up. Well, that's what sin or the flesh does. The flesh tries to keep your spiritual bars low to where there is no signal and no connection. Well, that's why the scripture says, but likewise the Spirit helps us. This is why we call on Jesus. We tap into Jesus by calling on His name. His name is like that power that connects the line. His name is like that energy. You know how you got the electric box back there. Now that electric box on the outside, there's a line that goes to the power line, and then it comes here and to the circuit breaker box. And then all throughout the building is all of these lines. You know, one line is for the lights, one line is for the outlets, one line is for the utilities, but it's all these lines that are there. Well, whether we realize it or not, even if I cut the lights off, it's still power coming to the line. So you see, even if I cut this light switch off, that don't mean no power is coming to the line. It means that the power has come to a point that it has been stopped. Well, that's what sin wants to do. Sin wants that the name of Jesus to get to a point in your life where it stops. It is up to you to use that name. Use that name. That name is like electricity. It's like energy reaching all throughout your body, all to those vital points. What vital points? Those points where I can express praise to Jesus. The devil don't want my hands to clap for Jesus. The devil don't want my mouth to say Jesus. The devil don't want my feet to feel Jesus. But it's up to you to keep using that name. You got to keep using that name till that name just brings energy all throughout your whole body to where your body begins to express itself. Your body begins to let the Lord know just what He means to you. That's the truth, saints. When the name of Jesus gets throughout your whole body, your body begins to be an instrument or a tool to praise Him, a tool to glorify Him. But the flesh doesn't want that to happen. The flesh tries to keep that from you experiencing that. That's why it's important, according to the book of Acts, for us to be in here on one accord. There's a power when everybody has their mind on Jesus. Just say when they were all assembled together in one place and on one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house, right? That's right, that power.
Thank you, Jesus.
That energy.
Yeah.
And we're in there calling on Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And nobody but the devil don't want you to call on Jesus.
Right.
He wants to do everything he can do to keep that name from being entering into the atmosphere. The atmosphere of your mind. The atmosphere of the place that you are at. He tries to do everything he can do to keep that name. Because he knows that name is your energy. Oh yeah, you come in here tired. You come in here sick. You come in here worried down in the mind. But that devil just wants you to stay that way. But he knows if we get in here and we start calling on Jesus and we don't let nothing stop the power. We don't cut the power off, but we let the power flow. Flow to the what? To the vital point. This light switch is no good if it don't flow to the
He's light that all. So it is up to us to not let our energy be in it. We can't stop calling Jesus till Jesus gets where he's needed. Oh yeah, saints. When do you need Jesus? I need him in my mind. Remember, I cannot stop calling Jesus till Jesus gets to where I need him at. And when he gets there, he will bring change. The Holy Ghost brings change. He said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Holy Ghost brings change, right?
Yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Holy Ghost brings change.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's right. You and I have a weakness in our flesh.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah, we got it. We don't have to wonder are we weak. It's already in us.
Yes, it is.
The tendency to do wrong, to think wrong, to be negative is already in you. Yeah, it don't have to come nowhere. It's already in you. And that's why the writer describes it as an infirmity. It is a weakness. It is intended to injure. It's intended to slow you down. It's intended for you to cause you to not make forward progress. But you see what the scripture says? Scripture doesn't say, oh, you're in a bad state. Oh, this is poor you. Holy Ghost says, I'm here to help you.
Right.
Said, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost is here to help us.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
So ain't no reason for me to leave this place without the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Why? Because if I really want him, he's here to help me.
Yeah.
Y'all understand that?
Yeah.
There's no reason for me to leave the place where Jesus is and not get what I came for.
Right.
Why? Because the Holy Ghost is here to help me.
Right.
Huh?
Yes.
Holy Ghost is here to help me.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Oh yeah, Holy Ghost
is
here to help you.
Oh, yes, it is.
You get down on your knees,
yes,
and you call him
Jesus.
In a state of desperation. You let the Lord know, Jesus, I reached the end of my rope.
Jesus,
I reached the end of my bounds.
Yes.
I can't do no more.
Jesus.
Huh?
Yes.
What you mean you can't do no? All I can do is just call your name. I can't do no more.
Because
it's not how hard I call you. It's not how loud I call you. It's not how fast I call you. But I call you because I need you. Huh? I need your help. The scripture says, his spirit is here to help me. Help me with my infirmities. In other words, when I can't make a step forward, when I can't move from where I am, Holy Ghost is here to do what? Help me. Lord, I can get this help when I seek him with everything inside. She said, you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with what?
All your heart. Thank you, Jesus.
That's the truth. You got to do that.
Help, Lord.
You got to be willing.
Yes.
Willing to let the Holy Ghost do what? Help me. You got to move yourself out of the way. Self, he's trying to tell you, you can do it. Self said, let me step in and try to do it. I know what Jesus like. Self, flesh.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
But that carnal mind is death.
Yes.
Carnal mind will keep you back.
Yeah.
When the Holy Ghost is there to take control, carnal man will say, let me do it. Holy Ghost will say, clap like this.
Uh-huh.
Carnal man say, no, clap like this. Huh? Yeah, because it's all about you.
Right.
But you got to get yourself out of the way.
Yeah.
And let the Holy Ghost do what have his way.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Spirit is there to do what? Help us.
Right.
This is what the scripture says. Likewise,
right.
The Spirit itself does that to do what?
Help our infirm people.
Yes.
Yeah. But we know
you don't know what you should be praying for.
As we are.
You don't know what to pray for, and you don't know how to pray.
Uh-huh.
Huh? Oh yeah, that's why the disciples asked Jesus to teach us to pray.
Yeah.
You got to get to the point where you understand you don't know how to pray and you don't know what to pray for. Because the devil will have you conceal stuff. The devil will have you focus on things that don't even need to be focused on. Things that relating to your flesh. Huh? Oh yeah, because you think I need to seek Jesus to heal my body. Huh? That's limited. You think you need to seek Jesus to fix this relationship or fix this financial burden.
Yes.
But you seek the Holy Ghost to fix your soul.
Right.
To get your soul ready to go back with Jesus
in
eternity.
Yes.
That's the only reason you need the Holy Ghost.
That's
what Jesus died for.
Right.
Jesus didn't die to bring you out of financial problems.
No.
He didn't die to bring you out of people picking on you.
Yeah.
He died to bring you or deliver you from sin.
All right.
his people from their what?
Yes, sin. Thank you, Jesus.
Have Jesus focus on.
Yes.
Jesus focus on sin.
Jesus.
If Jesus focus on sin, you need to be focused on sin.
Right.
I need to go through my life and say, Jesus, what is it? What is not pleasing to you? What is out of place?
Jesus,
what is not lining up with what you have planned for my life? Huh? We stop. We get limited. We say, oh, I just need money. I just need a job. I just need my children to behave right. Nah, that's limited. Because you got to realize, well, all of this stuff, if I die, I'm going to leave all this stuff anyway. I'm going to leave my job. They're going to hire somebody else. I'm going to leave my money. It's going to go to somebody else. I'm going to leave my children. They're going to get friends and be partners with somebody else. You say, you're their daddy. Some other man may come around and start treating them like I treat them. And they may start saying, well, that's my dad. He adopted me. And they are no longer my daddy. Now somebody else is treating them like dad. You ain't never seen children do that? They say, oh, this is my mom. Here's my mom. You say, oh, that's your mom. No, that's not really my mom. But she's so sweet. She's so kind. She do for me. So I call her my mom. Huh? Yeah, so that lets you know you are replaceable. Huh? You are replaceable. Huh? But what can I do to focus on what's more important? The most important thing about you is your soul. Jesus died to save your soul. You need to be soul focused, right? When Jesus came to this earth, he was soul focused. So that means I need to be what? Focused on my soul. Huh? Can't be focused on nothing else. Come on, read me a little bit more of that in Romans.
And it says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession.
Yeah. Yes.
With groanings
and utter.
And he that searcheth the heart.
So what is the Holy Ghost doing? Holy Ghost is there to search my heart.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. That's why I said you can't get by Jesus. A lot of times we say, Elder Scott, I just don't understand why I'm not coming through with the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you can't get by Jesus. Jesus done told you. What does 8:27 say?
8:27 said, he that searches the heart.
What is Jesus doing?
He's searching
the heart. Huh? That's the real you. That's the part of you that can't nobody see. Huh? I ain't talking about that thing that's ticking in your chest. Huh? I'm talking about the thing that's controlling you. Your mind. The central part of who you are. In the computers, it's the motherboard. Motherboard controls everything. That lets you even know, even your phone's got a motherboard. That motherboard controls everything. Sometimes my wife say, my phone ain't acting right. And I got to go tell her. I say, did you go through and get rid of all that extra stuff? Because you got too many pictures? Huh? Too many of this, too much of that, too many emails, too many text messages, too many phone numbers, all that stuff. It clouds up the motherboard. It's only so much space that motherboard can take. Huh? Oh, yeah. It's just like this tray right here. This tray is equivalent to a motherboard. Now, right now, the tray is in a good spot. Huh? Ain't nothing there. It's clean. It moves real easy. But the more stuff I put on it, the more the motherboard gets filled up. Huh? That's what that devil be trying to do in your life. Be trying to fill your mind up with a whole bunch of stuff. Stuff that ain't got nothing to do with anything. And then you try to call Jesus in the midst of that stuff. And it don't work. Huh? It don't work. You ain't made no room for the Lord. That's why the Lord said you got to empty all of that stuff. That's what repentance means. Repentance means get rid of all of the mess. Make yourself a clean slate. Clean slate for who to dwell in. Not more stuff, but the right stuff. Who is the right one? You want to make space for Jesus. Clean my mind. Get rid of all that ungodly stuff and make room for Jesus. That's your heart. Get rid of all the malice, all the hate, all the envy, all the jealousy, all the greed. All that stuff got to come out of your heart. You got to get rid of all that stuff and make room for a holy God, a righteous God, to come and dwell in you. Oh yes, that's what the Lord want to do. He don't want to dwell on the outside. He want to come on the inside. But he want to come on the inside when you make what? Space for him. Huh? You got to move that stuff from in front of the door. Huh? Right. Sometimes you can't get to the door of your mind right. and let Jesus in because you got too much stuff there.
Right.
Move all that stuff from out
right.
the way.
Right.
So that when the Lord speaks, you can get to him real quick
right.
and open up that door.
Right.
Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and do what? Knock.
Right.
If any man hear my voice and does what? Open up the door.
Right.
See, you can't open the door because you got too much stuff there.
Right.
You got too much of yourself there. You need to move that stuff out of the way
yes, yes.
so the word of God can find a place
Jesus.
In where? In your heart.
Yes.
It want to move from off of the pages that you write on.
Jesus.
And it wants to move into your heart.
Jesus.
It wants to become eternalized.
Jesus.
Huh? Yes. One writer said you need to receive with meekness.
Meekness.
This engrafted
yes.
word.
Yes.
Meaning this word wants to become a part of you.
Yes.
It wants to get connected
yes.
to everything
yes.
that you are. This engrafted word has got the power to save what? Not your body, but your soul. The real you, right? That heart. That heart is important. Huh? Come on, what did that verse number 27 say?
It said, he that searches the heart.
What is the Holy Ghost doing?
That
Jesus is the he. Everybody understand that? It's not your mother. It's not me. I'm not the one that's searching you. Jesus is the one that's searching you. So you can't get up and say, oh, Scott, I can't get the Holy Ghost because I'm at your church. No. You can get the Holy Ghost wherever your mind is right at. Huh? That's a beautiful thing. You could be in your living room. Huh? Oh, yeah. We've had living room candidates. We've had folk come through with the Holy Ghost in the living room. But your mind got to be right. Oh, yeah. Lord is not bound to these four walls. We could be sitting in the park. All you got to do is say, I got a mind to want to be saved. We say, oh, just call on his name. You get to calling on the name of Jesus in that pot. Holy Ghost will fill you right there. Huh? Is that what the scripture says? All he's doing when you call on him, every time you call him, is as though the Holy Ghost is coming by to search your heart. Huh? You say, Jesus, he's right there. And he's looking you over. Huh? Is that what the scripture says? The Holy Ghost searches your heart.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Come on. He's got a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
Huh? He's got a spotlight on you.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's going to look at stuff
yeah.
you don't want him to see.
Yeah.
But you got to say, here I am, Lord. Search me, Jesus.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Search me, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Search my heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? He's going to do it whether you want him to or not.
That's right.
Verse number 27 says what? He that
heart.
Does what? Searches the heart.
Huh?
Come on. Stop right there. Mm-hmm. Jump over to chapter number 17 in the book of Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah chapter number 17 and start at verse number 7. Huh?
17 and 7.
Come on. What do we know? Romans says he's searching the heart.
Right.
He that searches the heart. Say, Elder Scott, I want the new birth.
Uh-huh.
You got to understand. You can't seek the Lord artificially.
Yeah.
You can't seek the Lord with what they call that face stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, where I'm just doing it for face value.
Uh-huh.
No, Lord say, this go beyond your face.
Right.
This go beyond what your eyes see.
Uh-huh.
Lord say, I'm searching your heart.
Right.
One other writer says, that's that word of God is quick
uh-huh.
and it's
yeah.
powerful. Chopping an enemy two-edged sword.
Right.
Dividing asunder.
Right.
Separating marrow from the bone.
Yes.
It's a discerner of thoughts.
Yes.
Ah, it's a discerner
yes.
of thoughts.
Yes. Yes.
And the intent of your heart.
Right.
Ah, meaning the reason why you're doing what you're doing, right?
Yes.
Oh yeah, you can't play with Jesus.
No.
You can't fool around with this. The Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, when you call him.
Yes.
Come on, y'all say Jesus.
Jesus.
When you call him, he's coming. He's coming. And when he's coming to look you over. Why is he looking you over? Because
yeah.
you called him.
Yeah.
You said Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And he's got to honor his name.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Yeah.
Come on, he's got to honor his name.
Yeah.
He said, whosoever shall call upon my name.
Right.
He's got to honor his name.
Uh-huh.
But are you ready when you call him?
Uh-huh.
Huh? Are you ready when you call him?
Right. Thank you, Jesus.
Do you really want the Lord
Jesus.
To come on in? Are you really ready
Jesus.
To receive him?
Right.
Huh?
Yes,
why? Because when you call him, he's coming.
He is coming.
And when he comes, he ain't coming to be your friend. He said, I'm coming to search you.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Coming to search what? My hands?
Yeah.
I done took the nail polish off, Jesus. Nah, honey, I'm going a little bit deeper than that.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I done covered the tattoo up. Nah, Jesus, I ain't worried about that on you. Sin do a whole lot of damage on you. I ain't worried about that. Well, where are you going, Jesus? I'm going to the real you. I'm going to that part that don't nobody else know. They try to create all these devices. Say, we're going to give you a lie detector test. People have been trained to cheat the lie detector test. A good liar can pass the lie detector test. There's nothing in the world that the world can do to try to figure out a liar. Only thing they can do is just keep asking the same question over and over and over again. Say, we're going to break you. We're going to break you how? We're going to torture you. We're going to put your head up under some water to the point that you're going to tell the truth. Well, if somebody wants you to stop doing that, they'll tell you whatever you want to hear. But it might not be truth. Huh? See, the only one that knows truth is Jesus. The only one that can search the heart is Jesus. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You can't lie to Jesus. You can lie to me, but you can't lie to Jesus. He know you better than anybody, right? You call him. He's coming. And when he comes, he's going to search you out. Huh? You say, Elder Scott, I don't want to search me out. You better stop calling him then. Huh? Because he's going to search you out. When you call him, he's going to search you out. Well, I don't want him to bother with me. Well, there's a day coming where whether you want him to bother you or not, he's still going to judge you. Huh? Jordan Ryder said he's going to call and you will go to hell. Huh? He's got to go. He wants a desire for the work of his hand. You are the work of Jesus' hand. Meaning you didn't make yourself. He made you. And he wants to see what you did with what he made, right? That's true. But for those that want to be saved, you call him. You say, Jesus, he's coming. And when he comes, he's going to search you out. Huh? Come on. Now, when he comes, what do I need to do? According to Jeremiah chapter number 17 and verse number 7, when Jesus come, I don't want Jesus to come and find me unhappy. I don't want him to come and find me depressed or down. Why? Because verse number 7 says, blessed. Huh? Blessed is the man that does what? Now, in other words, before I let his name come out of my lips, huh? I got to get it fixed in my mind that I'm willing to do what? Trust Jesus.
Yes.
Huh? Not lean to my own understanding, but do what? Trust Jesus. Trust him out. One writer said, trust the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to what? Don't lean to your own understanding. Get that out of your mind. Well, am I calling him hard enough? Get that out your mind. Am I calling him fast enough? Get that out your mind. Huh? Does the Lord think that I got on the right outfit? Get that out your mind.
Right.
All you got to do is call him and trust him.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Just trust. That word trust means lean on him. Huh? Rely.
Yeah.
Depend on Jesus.
Yeah.
Know that when you call him and you want to be saved, he will save you, right?
Right.
You mean tell me, Elder Scudder, I ain't got to go home and clean up nothing? Not if you trust in Jesus.
Yes.
You just trust the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, trust him, one writer said, with all your heart.
Yes.
I mean, serious things. Mm-hmm. You trust the Lord with everything inside of you. You call him good one time.
Right.
That's all it takes for him to come on in.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's why the writer told them, and when they was in there on the day of Pentecost,
uh-huh,
it wasn't nothing different. It wasn't nothing unique,
mm-hmm,
that they was doing. The only thing that would happen different on the 10th day than all them other 9 days is all their minds was on Jesus. Huh? Scripture said, when all their minds is on Jesus, suddenly. Isn't that a powerful thing? In other words, you ain't got to wait no more. Huh? You say, you come to the end of the waiting. Suddenly, there came a what? Sound from heaven. Isn't that like, that's how you know anybody that received the Holy Ghost can testify of that. You testify, anybody that received the Holy Ghost will tell you, I didn't do anything special. All I did is trust Jesus. Something in my mind said, stop focusing on all the other stuff. Stop worrying about all the things that are going around you and put your mind on Jesus. just start to trust Jesus.
Amen.
Trust the process
Amen.
That he put in place.
Right.
What process did he put in place? He said, if you call me, I'll answer you.
Right.
And I'll show you great and mighty things.
Right.
In other words, you got to call him with anticipation.
Yeah.
And that man at the gate called Beautiful,
yeah.
he was expecting to receive
right.
something.
Right.
That's why when you call his name, you got to expect to receive
Jesus.
Something from Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, you do.
Yeah.
You got to be looking.
Yeah.
To receive something from the Lord. Say, Jesus, I'm looking to receive something from you. Huh? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Looking to receive something from you. Huh? Don't know where you... Nah, I ain't got to worry about. Don't let your mind be focusing on where he is.
Uh-huh.
You already know he's omnipotent.
Right.
Meaning he got all power.
Right.
He's omniscient.
Yeah.
Nothing gets by him. He knows all things.
No.
And he's omnipresent.
Yes.
He don't have to come from nowhere.
Yeah.
He's already here. Jesus already here. All you got to do is realize and understand that and trust him, right? Blessed is the man that does what? Trust it.
Uh-huh.
Is that what the scripture say?
Yes,
blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And whose hope.
The Lord.
What does that word hope mean? Expectation.
Uh-huh.
Huh? What are you expecting? Why are you calling Jesus? I'm calling Jesus because I want him to come on the inside of me.
Yes.
Huh? I don't want him to be on the outside.
Right.
I want him to come where?
Well,
oh yeah. That's why you call Jesus. You call him because you want him to come where?
On the inside.
Huh?
Yeah.
Verse number 8.
And it says, well, he shall be as a tree.
Now, this is the part where everybody gets stuck at. Because they get so focused on, the blessings. They say, he'll be like a tree. What does the next verse part say?
It says, be a tree planted by the water.
Uh-huh.
And that spreadeth out her roots by the river.
Now, see, everybody gets so stuck on that part.
Uh-huh.
But they don't want to do the part on the first part.
That's it.
All you got to do is just trust Jesus and hope on the Lord.
Right.
That's all you got to focus on.
Yes.
Everything else comes when you do your part.
Right.
Rather than say for you to be focusing on where you plan it,
right.
Rather than tell you to do that,
right.
He told you to do a trust in the Lord and let the Lord be your hope.
Your hope.
Huh? That's all I need to focus on.
Right.
In other words, if the Lord let it come in, that means it's intended for me.
Right.
If he don't let it come in, I don't need to worry about it because it ain't for me,
that's
right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Is that the truth?
Yes, it is.
Amen, Lord Jesus.
Yes,
I ain't got to worry about it. Lord ain't let a new car come in me, so I ain't got to worry about it. Huh?
Right.
Lord ain't let another job come in me, so I ain't got to worry about it. All I need to be doing is doing what? Trusting in Jesus.
Uh-huh.
All I need to be doing is hoping, expecting, anticipating Jesus. Huh? Oh yeah. Say, when you do your part, Lord say, you'll be like a tree, right? Planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the what? The river. And shall not see when he cometh. But her leaf shall be what? Green. And shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Right? But look at what it says there. The heart is what?
Deceitful.
See, that heart, that mind will mess you up. That mind will make you focus on stuff. And you don't even realize the devil will give you stuff. Stuff to keep your mind occupied. Huh? But what about this tree that the writer's talking about? He's got stuff, but that's not his focus. His focus is the Lord. Don't you forget what verse number 7 said? Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Not the stuff, but Jesus, right? We be so busy focusing on stuff that we forget Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus is more important than anything
all
else.
Huh? Jesus, yes.
Why? Because if you get stuck, you die without Jesus, your stuff's going to be lost and you're going to be lost, right? Isn't that a bad situation? As that rich man. Rich man got all that stuff and the Lord called him a what? A fool. Because his stuff was gone.
Yeah.
And he was gone.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Now that's dumb, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now you don't want to be dumb, do you?
No.
No, 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 no. So the writer's telling me just trust in Jesus. Anticipate Jesus coming. Say, Elder Scott, you got the Holy Ghost? I'm still anticipating Jesus to come. Why? Because he's not through. When you got the Holy Ghost, you realize the Lord is not through in you. Huh? Oh, yeah. When you get the Holy Ghost, Jesus ain't through in you. He got more work to do inside of you. Huh? What more work did the Lord got? He got to bring me out of this death body. Huh? Oh, yeah, this is a death body. He's got to bring me out of this death body and bring me into what? A glorified body. Now, I'm not done seeking the Lord until he give me what he promised. Huh? He says, whose hope? The Lord. I'm not done seeking the Lord until he's given me what he promised me. What did he promise you? He promised me to overcome death. Huh? Said, then it's going to be brought to pass that saying, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your... I can't stop seeking Jesus till he fulfills that promise. I don't run as though I have obtained. Oh, no, 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 no. I don't have it fixed in my mind as though I got all of it yet. I've got to cross the finishing line, right? Got to keep on fighting until I cross that finishing line. Got to keep on running. Got to keep on fasting. Got to keep on praying until I cross that finishing line. Oh, yeah, it seems like we're doing the same thing over and over again. Oh, yes, that's true. You don't want it to change. Huh? When somebody's running a marathon, they can't sit there and keep saying, well, it seems like I'm still running. Yeah, you're still running. You're going to be running until you cross the finishing line. The minute you get tired of saying, well, I'm getting sick and tired of running, you're going to stop running.
Yeah.
And you're going to do what? Lose the race. Huh? Other folk are going to run right past you. Huh? They're going to say, oh, I don't understand why they're wasting their time. Huh? Wasting their time when we could be doing so many other things across the road. Huh? So many other people on the sidelines is not doing what I'm doing. Well, they didn't want to run. They didn't want to participate in the race. You said, I want to run. You said, I want to be in the race. You were at the starting line. Now you must cross the finishing line, right? Does that make sense? The finishing line has got to be your hope. Not the start. The finishing line. You trusted the Lord to get you to the start line. You trusted the Lord to get you with the mind to want to run. But what is your hope? Not that starting line. It's the finishing line. And I can't stop running until I do what? Cross. Not see it. Some folks see the finishing line and stop. They say, oh, I done made it. No, you didn't. What? You ain't crossed over that finishing line yet. Huh? What are you talking about, Elder Scott? You're still breathing. As long as you're breathing and you're moving, you still got work to do, right? You still got to run this race. Huh? Ain't that the truth? I know some of you you're feeling tired. I know your body's is tired. But I'm here to encourage you. Keep on running.
Amen.
Don't you stop running for nothing. I don't care how bad your body hurt. Keep on running.
That's
why? Because you have not finished that crossing. You have not crossed that finishing line. You don't cross that finishing line until you stop breathing, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
You got to run even when you're on your deathbed. Huh? In other words, you still got to be calling Jesus. Even when you're on your deathbed. Huh? Doctors coming to you saying, look like you're not going to make it through the night. That's when you got to look to the wall and just say, Jesus, I fought a good fight, right? In other words, you got to keep on running until you cross the finishing line, right? What do you want to be said about you, right?
Jesus,
I kept the faith.
That's right.
Huh? Oh, yeah. I did not deny your name. Huh? I told you very few going to make it. Very few going to be willing to run. I mean, with everything inside of They do it good when their bodies are strong. But that you still got to run when your body is weak. Huh? Oh, yeah, you still got to run when your body is weak.
Yes.
Say, but you don't understand what I'm going through. It's not me that needs to understand. It's you. You need to understand what you're going through. The devil is trying to attack you. Trying to prevent you from reaching the finishing line.
Yes.
Well, it's because I can see it. Well, good. Keep on running.
Yes.
Keep on running. Mm-hmm. Well, it's because I'm tired. Keep on running.
Yes.
You can't run, crawl. Huh?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You got, but just in other words, keep on moving. Keep on moving till you cross that finishing line. Huh? Finishing line is death. To that, till you cross the finishing line. I can't stop here if the finishing line is that step. I've got to keep on moving. Even if I get here, it's still not sufficient. I've got to keep moving till I pass the finishing line. Then I can say I made it,
right?
Then you can say you made it. But anything else is a failure.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's why you got to be careful when you, when you're running this race. When you say, Jesus, I'm trusting you. When you say, Jesus, you are my hope.
Mm-hmm.
You are my expectation. You got to be very, very careful. You got to be on guard to make sure that your mind lines up with your mouth.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
I got to make sure that what I'm saying out of my mouth is really truthful and honest.
Yes.
And it's coming from my heart.
Jesus.
Why? Because that heart is deceitful. Huh? Oh, yes, it is.
Yes.
I didn't say it. Verse number 9 said it. The heart is deceitful
above
everything else in your body. You thought it was your hips that had the sin because you kept on shaking them and moving them. Huh? No, it came from the heart. It came from the mind, right? You thought it was your mouth. That was real. You say, oh, Scotty, you don't understand. I had a horrible tongue. I was a cusser. I was filthy. I was nasty. Nah, that was your mind. Huh? No, it wasn't my mind. I had a good mind. I did real good in school. But your mind had a desperation for wickedness. Huh? The scripture said that heart is what? Deceitful. Huh? That heart, that mind made you think you were so intelligent. Made you think you were a genius. Because you got all them good grades. Because you were so faithful going to school. Huh? But you never had enough smarts to take care of your soul. Huh? Huh? You were so intelligent, you didn't have enough smarts to take care of your soul, right? Who you think was lying to you? That heart is deceitful. And it's what? It's desperately wicked. I can't wait till it's time for me to go to school, till I go to college, because I'm going to move as far, far away from my mom and my daddy as I can, and I'm going to do what I want to do. Deceitful. Mom and daddy get the grades. Oh, I'm so happy. My daughter, my son is doing so well in school. Why are you saying? Because they got, look at these, they made straight A's. They're on the dean's list. They're desperately wicked. You the fool. Because you don't know what they're doing. They're bringing shame to you. And you don't even know it. Every house party on campus, they right there. They drunk. They sleeping around. Huh? But they know how to fool you because they keep them grades up. See, look at how well I'm doing in school. Huh. They be half drunk. Phone be ringing. Say, oh, call her back later. Get sobered up. Get on the phone. Hey, Mom. How you doing? Why you answer the phone when I called you the first time? Oh, I was studying. Just lying. Huh?
That's
the heart.
That's
huh?
Right.
Is deceitful.
Right.
And what? Who can know it? Huh? I'm going to move far away so my mom and my daddy don't see. You move from the wrong one.
Right.
I don't care where you go at in the earth. You still will be seen by Jesus.
Right.
You so worried about me not catching you.
Right.
But what about the one who don't sleep?
Right.
What about the one whose eyes is on you all the time?
Right.
Whose ears are constantly open?
Right.
He don't get no wax in his ears.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus don't need no Q-tips, no ear flushes. He hears real good. His hearing is so sonar, it even know your thoughts. Yeah, that's deep, isn't it? He know all the thoughts. Every chicken wing that crossing your mind, he know every thought. Yes. Yes. It's up to you to be honest with who? Yourself. So he's going to be honest with you. As I said before, and I have, you say, you keep saying this because I'm trying to get it fixed in your mind. Then when you call his name, Jesus, Jesus, he is coming. And when he comes, what is he coming to do? He is coming to search you. Do you really want me? Huh? Oh, yeah. Say, no. I do want you, but not right now. I do want you, but not on your terms. Not on, according to the way you want to do it. I want you to do it the way I want it. Let's see how far you go along with that. Huh? Oh, yeah. That's how some people put conditions on like that on Jesus. I'm going to let y'all go. I see y'all eyes is dropping all here. But it's true. We call him and we ask him to come, but we want him to do on our conditions. We say, oh, Lord, if you come, this is what I want. Then you got to make this work. Jesus don't operate like that. Jesus said, you got to adjust your will to my will. Jesus don't adjust his will to our will. No, it doesn't work that. You got to adjust your will to his will. That ain't no different than the doctor tell you, you need to lose weight. So, okay, I need to lose weight. And they say, okay, this is your meal plan. And then you go through the meal plan and say, well, I ain't going to eat that. Well, I'm going to just eat a little bit of this. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. And then you come back, doctor say, how are you still the same weight that you was? And I gave you 6 months. Something should have fell off. I gave you the meal plan. Did you follow the meal plan? I've been doing it. Now, you're lying. You're lying to yourself and you're lying to the doctor. Doctor, I already know you're lying because the meal plan would have caused some of the weight to drop off. Right. Ain't no different. We watching that program. The man was supposed to go to a class to help him to lose the weight. He went in a class for abuse for spouses. And when he went in that class with abuse for spouses, they fed him with donuts and everything inside of there. And he was coming back, talking about his class and everything, all of that. And she was just looking at him, like, wow. And she said, a couple of weeks went by, she said, I'm not understanding. How are you gaining weight? You look like you're getting bigger than you were before the class started. And then he told her, oh, it's a process. It's a process. You know, I got to trick my mind into this. She said, okay. I'm not the specialist, so I'm going to go follow up on you. So she popped in one of his classes and come to find out she was shocked when she got in there because everybody was scared of her. She was looking like, what? Isn't this a class for losing weight, helping people that can't control their appetite? They said, no, this is a class for abusive spouses. And you ought to abuse the spouse that's abusing your husband. It's something to think about, isn't it? So we treat Jesus that way. We try to fool Jesus. We say, oh, no. I'm doing it the way you say do it, Lord. And the Lord saying, okay. You think because you're meeting a certain profile when you come through these four walls. I tell y'all all the time, it's easy to do holiness in here. Right. You ain't in here for a couple of hours. The hard part is out there.
Right.
That's where the proof is at.
That's right.
I had a brother tell me, he said, oh no, they can wear pants when they out there, but then when they come to church, they can't wear them. I'm saying to myself, that's backwards. Yeah. Why would you tell them to live a certain kind of way when they come in these four walls where they can't see nobody?
Right.
How are you, who are you witnessing to?
Right.
You witnessing to the wall? Mm-hmm. Lord didn't tell you let your light shine here.
This is you putting your light up on the table. You need to put your light out there. That's where the darkness is at.
Yes, right. Yes.
In your neighborhood.
Right.
You need to let your light do what? Shine.
Right.
See, well, I don't talk to my neighbors. I don't bother with. Well, that's your problem because you're supposed to be a witness.
Right. That's
Say hi.
Yeah.
Be kind.
Yeah.
Keep your sidewalk cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Neighborly. That was because I ain't got no way you do got something to do with it. I'm trying to tell you, your heart is deceitful. Hard to tell you, you're doing something that you're really not doing. The only one you're really lying to is who? And again, where is it coming from? I keep pointing to my chest, but y'all really know I'm talking about my mouth. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Huh? Next verse say what?
I the Lord search the heart.
Yeah.
I try the reins.
Mm-hmm.
Even to give every man according.
So y'all realize every time you call Jesus, what is the Lord doing to me? He's trying me.
Right.
He's trying me out. Y'all know what reins are.
Mm-hmm.
You know the things that they put on the animals?
Yeah.
In other words, it's like a tie.
Right.
It's attachment.
Well,
the Lord said, I'm going to try those reins. Some of our reins is real loose. We ain't tied them up at all. I mean, they just loose. You know, that's the worst thing to be doing, jumping on some horse with some loose reins. Especially if you don't know how to ride one either. You can hang on to that horse as you want, tight as you want. You choking the horse be looking at you, man, you got to get off of me. Because you're holding up my progress. Huh? Does that make sense? Lord says, I'm going to do a try the reins. Huh? To give every man
according to his ways.
Huh?
According to the fruit of his doing.
So who's the cause of this stuff? Who causes this stuff? Or the lack of it? We blame everybody, but who we really should be blaming? At the end of the day, whose mind is it?
Mine.
It's my mind. It's my mind. I am responsible for my mind. Adam and Eve didn't understand that. Because every time the Lord tried to look for a confession, they blame who? Somebody else. You go, come on over there. Go over there really quick. Genesis chapter number 3. I'm going to let you go. My time is done. Genesis 3. Starting at verse number 11. Starting at verse number 11. Starting at verse number 11.
And he said, who told you that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded that thou shouldest not eat?
So who was he talking to? He talking to Adam. Everybody understand that? He is talking to Adam. So when the Lord's word is going forth, you got to ask yourself, who is the word talking to? Next verse.
And the man said, the woman.
Stop right there. See, that's your problem right there. You're so busy looking at everybody else that you can't see who. My heart is desperately wicked. Huh? That's what he should have said. Huh? I was weak, Jesus, and I ain't dabble. Help me, Jesus.
Yes.
Remember the scripture said, the Spirit, likewise the Spirit helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for. Adam is the perfect example of it. Who did he blame? He did not blame himself. And he could have gotten help if he would have only done what? Acknowledge his shortcomings. That's David's problem. David understood that. When Nathan figured him out, David understood. He said, against Jesus and thee only have I sinned.
Forget, he wasn't worried about Bathsheba. Even though he had done the deed with her, he said at the end of the day, I am accountable for me. Against thee and thee only have who? He didn't say we. He said I sinned. And did this evil in who? Thy sight. Create in who? Me. I love my wife, but I definitely can't. I can't force her to do right. Yeah, she'll tell you flat-footed. She's got her own mind. I don't care how many discussions and conversations I have, but she got her own mind. God knows it took me 20-something years to figure that out. It's true. She know I got mine, too. Children, they got their own minds. Okay, how bad we want them to do right, they got their own minds. God knows that they got their own minds. Right? Try to help them out, but they keep reminding you over and over again, I'm my own person. I'm going to do what I want. Yeah, you right. I guess we just got to do the way you say do it. But it's my responsibility to show you your way ain't going to work. Yeah, that's on me. See, if I be fooling myself, if I let them go do it their way and then jump in there and make it right. Because they thinking their way is what? I'm setting my children up for failure. I'm going to let y'all go. Y'all close the book. My son goes out and decide he's going to go out there. I'm going to go stay on my own. I don't need to live with y'all no more. Y'all do it the way I ain't going to follow my own rules. Well, go ahead and put the apartment and stuff in my name. I don't need y'all help no way. Well, okay. You right. So go ahead, son. Just put everything in my name. Who they going to call when the bill ain't paid?
You.
And who not going to get evicted?
They not.
Who think their way is all right?
They do.
But if he put it in his name and it don't get paid and they lock him out, who is he going to blame? You know, I'm going to tell you how foolish you'd be. I wouldn't be in this situation if you ain't never put me out. No, you wouldn't have been in this situation if you paid your bill.
Right.
What did you do with your money? I don't make enough money. Whose fault is that? You're going to blame me for not making enough money. So it's personal accountability, all right? Does that make sense, saints? I think it makes sense. I think it makes real good sense. Lord will help you if you want him to help you. This is a part of the new birth. The Lord will help you if you do what? Want him to help you. But you got to move yourself out of the way and let Jesus do it, saints, all right?